Remain standing, and I will read from Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11 through verse 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You may be seated.
Thank you for supporting us here and for listening and for praying. It's a great blessing. Okay, we'll get into more things from the Word, and I don't mind if this next part is recorded. The title of the message today is Be Thankful. So I tried to keep it simple. Be thankful, and yet there's so much here. And I hope to challenge you today and all of us to be thankful. Now, something I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of, I think it's something that's common in our culture, is when we hear something from the scientific community or we read something from a scholarly journal, we tend to believe it and we tend to take note, especially if it's something that helps us in our life, helps us in our health, maybe financially. But sometimes then when we read the word, it's kind of like ho-hum. We've heard it all our lives. And I want us to get past that this morning and to see thankfulness in a new way. Thankfulness is an amazing thing. And it's very interesting. I haven't researched this deeply, but you can do more. But even the scientific community research, like in psychology, and there's a university that has done quite a bit of research. What does gratefulness and thankfulness, what does it do for us? And it's amazing what they're finding, like physical or neurological things, things that happen in our brain, in our life. It's amazing. And it just simply supports what the Bible has said for 2,000 plus years. And if we just listen to it, we would be better off. And so I hope to share a few of those things this morning. But this is God's word. And if we just follow it, take it to heart, really believe it, it will change our lives. And so this is just one small part of the word, one small instruction, and yet the Bible is full of it, and it's very important. So be thankful. The first mention of thankfulness in the New Testament, as far as the chronology, it's not in Matthew. Matthew mentions thankfulness, but not in connection with Jesus' birth. But the first mention of thankfulness in the historical chronology would be in Luke 2, where Anna learned, the prophetess, she learned that the Messiah was born. And it says she gave thanks. And that was in connection with Jesus' birth and salvation. And I think the very basis of our thankfulness is Jesus Christ. Now, we can be thankful for a lot of things, and we need to be. Because God has given us physical life and breath. But the very basis for us as believers is thankfulness for Jesus Christ who came. And he not only was born, he sacrificed himself to the utmost degree for us so that we can be here like this today and worship the Lord. Let's be thankful for Jesus Christ. Now, you can follow along in the scriptures. And we're going to be going through some scriptures today. Just maybe a little overview of thankfulness. The first mention of thanks that I found is in Leviticus chapter 7. And actually, I'm not going to read that, but this is the first mention of thanks I found in the Bible, of the, at least the word thanks. And it's in connection with the peace offerings. So the peace offering was one kind of offering that the Israelites under Moses' law were supposed to do. And then at least some of the peace offerings could be given with an intent or with the motivation of being thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done for me, and I'm bringing this peace offering. And this is the first mention of it. I find this fascinating because then in Hebrews, and you can turn here, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, and this is probably a reference to those peace offerings given out of a motive of thankfulness. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, or Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So we know that we don't bring animals anymore and say, thank you, Lord. And we, because our lamb has been slain, and that happened, and we don't need to bring in an animal. But we do have a sacrifice to bring, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it says, the fruit of our lips. And notice that word continually. Sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. As we think about thankfulness, I want you to change something in your life if you haven't been doing it yet. And I'm talking to myself. One thing I think this has been so challenging for me is because I felt I've not been a very grateful person. I tend to have to be negative. So one thing I'd like you to try to change is to give thanks verbally and out loud, okay? It could be in prayer to God, but do it out loud. Sometimes I tend to pray just in my mind or quietly or whisper it, but there's something about doing it out loud. And as you pray, give him thanks out loud, verbally. And then do it with other people, verbally giving thanks. And I've gotten to know Dave King, the accountant, not the Dave King here, the one that works with Choice Books in New York, and I've been so challenged by him. I'll ride with him sometimes to the Choice Books warehouse, and he's already just started naming things that he's thankful for, and it stirs my spirit. It's amazing what that does. So give thanks. Give that sacrifice of praise, that sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a command, so we should do it if we understand it or not. And just a couple verses, Colossians 2, verse 7. Says, rooted and built up in him, in Jesus Christ, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we are supposed to abound or overflow with thanksgiving. How are we doing? And if you're already being convicted, as I have been, that's good. Okay, we need to be convicted sometimes. But one thing I found in the end of that is a comfort to us, it says this specifically in Luke 6:35, that God is kind to the ungrateful. Ooh, that's a good thing for us, right? So if we haven't been very thankful, we can relax and we can confess it to God. But he's kind to the ungrateful. So you can relax a little bit. And as you confess it, feel your Father's love for you. Because even though you've been ungrateful, and sometimes you probably will be in the future, he's kind to you, and he will continue to be. So he is very kind to the ungrateful. And that was shown especially in giving his son. And that's in the context, by the way, of loving our enemies. But we are to overflow with thanksgiving. Okay, Ephesians 5:20. One of you quizzers, can you quote it? Let's hear it. Come on. Quizzers. Ephesians 5:20. Let's hear it. One of you guys. I know one of you. Thank you. Giving thanks always for all things in the, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if that would have passed for finish this verse, but that's the idea. So, giving thanks always. It's a command, okay? For all things unto God and the Father. Notice that word Father. He's our Father. So we should be very thankful. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ. It's because of Him. And now, a lot of us, and especially when we're younger, but even when we're older, we have specific things in life and we wonder, what's God's will? Sometimes I think we make it too hard because there's a place in the Bible that makes it very, very clear what God's will is. And it's very, very easy. So simple and easy, we sometimes miss it. So let's look at it. So if you're wondering what God's will is, and maybe you're a little perturbed at God that He hasn't shown you, or that He's a little slow, or things just aren't going the way you'd like, then I'd like you to get back on track into His will. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God's will for you is to give thanks in everything. And the verse before that, that I think was Daniel quoted, was give thanks for all things. That covers a lot, right? So if you're going through a hard time, I want you to specifically give thanks for it. One of our children was perturbed last evening at some stink bugs that were at the place we were staying and didn't like them. And I mentioned, well, let's thank God for them. That kind of came out of my studies. And that child wasn't too sure about that. But, you know, we can thank God even for stink bugs and other things that we don't like that we think drag us down, because God tells us to. But as well, there's reasons for it. It really does help us when we are thankful, even for those bad, what we think are bad things. I love Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Well, it starts at verse 4, I guess. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious or don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, so with asking, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? So what do we do when we worry? And we all tend to worry and fear about things. Well, the Bible tells us what to do. It says, don't worry about it, but do something. Ask God about it and try to somehow, some way, and sometimes for some of us, doing it out loud can really, I think, can help this. Give it over to God. Ask Him, Lord, help me. I can't take this. So it doesn't deny asking God, but it has a little two-word phrase, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So don't miss that part. And remember, it says give thanks for everything and in everything. So that covers a lot of bases, okay? So thank God for that problem. Thank Him for what He's going to do through that problem. And here there's a promise with this. Here we start to see what is some of the good that comes out of thankfulness. Why does God command it? Remember, we should believe it even if we don't understand why. I mean, we should do it, but there are reasons why we should be. There are benefits even for us. And it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a blessing. Don't we want that? We do. But there's a principle here to follow if we get that, before we get that. And it's to commit it over to God. Ask Him about it with thanksgiving. And there's the promise. The peace of God will keep our hearts and minds. I've also been, that's all connected with thanksgiving as a command, and also in connection with the peace offerings. So there's something else I was very fascinated by in this little study. And it starts in 1 Corinthians 16. And you can turn here. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. So other than the peace offerings and the mention of thanksgiving peace offerings with the intention of giving thanks, this is the first mention of thankfulness other than in connection with the offerings. So it's important. First Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 4. Now the context here was David had just brought the ark to Jerusalem. And remember the first time he tried to do it, they didn't do it properly according to how Moses had directed them. And Uzziah had died because he touched the ark when it was looked like it was going to fall when it was placed on that cart. And now they put it aside for a while, and David sought the Lord, and apparently he found in Moses' law how he should have done it. And so they did it again. This time they brought it to Jerusalem successfully, and there was great rejoicing. Now the ark is a sign, symbol, of God's presence, God's very presence with his people. And so keep that in mind. So here this is thankfulness in connection with the ark, and which symbolizes the presence of the Lord. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. So David appointed people for thanks. Now this wasn't just a legalistic thing. Now we're going to set a whole bunch of people here to give thanks, because we know David's heart before this. He was dancing and praising, even so that his wife was a bit ashamed of him. And so it was from the heart, but he appointed people to thank and praise the Lord. And they did it with a lot of noise and celebration. So then in Revelation 4, verse 9, and you can turn there, Revelation 4, 9. Now toward the end of the Bible, one of the last places it mentions thanks, remember this one in 1 Chronicles is one of the first. It is the first other than the time mentioned with the sacrifice offerings. Here it's one of the last places at the book of Revelation. And this again is in context of the presence of God. Remember, the ark symbolized the presence of God. Now this is the fulfillment. And here it talks about great rejoicing and thankfulness. I'll start it. Well, you may remember the first part of chapter 4 where John saw these visions and there were lightnings and thunderings and voices and the throne of God. It was an incredible sight. Are you with me? So this was God's presence. And when we come into God's presence as humans, it's not a laughing matter. So this was in God's presence. And then verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that is on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Did you notice the thanks? That's what they give, glory, honor, and thanks. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So worship and God's glory are intertwined with thankfulness. And we saw that, if you were noticing from the passage that Nate read at the beginning from Luke, remember the Samaritan who came back to Jesus and he fell down before him and gave him thanks. Jesus was so blessed. And he said, where are the others? Did no one else return to, what did he say? Did he say no one else returned to give glory or to give thanks? No, he said, did no one else return to give glory to God? And the man had given thanks. So when we give thanks to Jesus, it gives glory to God. So worship and God's glory are intertwined. They're inseparable from thanksgiving. So, and we can talk and talk about thanksgiving, but let's keep it very simple. It's just like some simple things like, Lord, thank you for the food you've given me. Thank you for my brother sitting here beside me. Or there is just multitudes of things we can thank God for. It's intertwined with God's presence and his honor and glory. Now, there's another important thing that thanksgiving does, and this maybe will strike a chord for even more of you, because with a group this large, I'm sure some of us are going through hard times. I would suspect so. I know so. And all of us go through hard times. Some of us here are probably going through very, very difficult times that maybe you can't see your way out of. Maybe it crushes your spirit. We don't know what you're going through exactly. But here's something for you. Here is thankfulness in connection with instructions for winning the battle or for protection or deliverance. And open to 2 Chronicles or turn to 2 Chronicles 20. Maybe you're wondering, what should I do? Or maybe you're wondering, why isn't God working? Maybe you've cried out to him day after day or month after month. Maybe it's year after year. Maybe here's one last thing that will happen before the deliverance comes. I don't know. God knows the order of all things. Never give up on God. But maybe here's a missing ingredient that God wants to produce in your life yet before that deliverance comes, before you see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. And this is when Judah was invaded, Jehoshaphat was king, and they were scared. And it looked like they might be overrun, and yet a prophet had spoken. Now look what he does. I'll start at verse 20. They rose early in the morning. They arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And the last phrase there, New American Standard says, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy, his loving kindness is everlasting. That same word praise in King James says, praise ye the Lord, can be translated, give thanks to the Lord. And you know what? Without lifting a sword, that army was defeated. And then they may have finished it off with a sword. But God started the defeat through thanksgiving and praise. Isn't that amazing? I want you to take that to heart this morning. Maybe that's a missing ingredient in the battle you're facing. Look at Psalm 50, verse 23. This is an amazing verse, Psalm 50, 23. Says, whoso offereth praise or that can be translated, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me, and to him that ordereth his conversation or his walk of life aright will I show the salvation of God. Now, I'd like to read it to you in the NIV. This may be a little better translation, and there's something very profound here. It says, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation or the victory or the deliverance of God. So when you offer that sacrifice of thanks, it prepares the way so that God can work his deliverance, okay? There's a connection, and the NIV brings that out well. It says, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Don't forget it. Daniel was an amazing example of this. Daniel, when he was threatened to worship nobody but the king, and it was under the threat of death, he continued 3 times a day in view so that others could see him. He continued, it says specifically, giving thanks under threat of death. And you know, we know the story then. He wasn't delivered right away. They threw him into the lion's den, but he was delivered, and it was in connection with continuing to give thanks. There is so much more. I'm going to skip over a bunch of things, and we're going to wrap it up here after a while. But look at what Jesus said about thankfulness. Just take a concordance. It's so easy on the computers you have if you have a Bible program or Strong's Concordance. And look up thanks or thankfulness and look at the times. And it doesn't mention a lot of times, but it's very interesting the times it mentions. And then there was one place where Jesus told a story, and he said, so here's a warning about giving thanks. Remember the Pharisee who went to the temple and prayed, and he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this guy over here and like others, and I fast and I pray. And he was thankful, but he wasn't justified. So there's one caution about thanks. When you're thankful, it's not an excuse to be looking down on others. It's when we're thankful, it's something heartfelt that is a spontaneous cry to God of gratefulness for what he's done and not a position of pride. Also, it's very prominent in the New Testament of being thankful for food. Jesus did it. It's recorded, I think, 4 times in the Gospels that Jesus thanked God for food. Very interesting. And Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, and in 1 Corinthians, and in Acts 27 on the ship. And so the next time you thank God for the food before the meal, I encourage you to really thank God. Because one thing I think it is important about food, it's our daily provision. We take it for granted. But you know, it is something that God gives. What if he wouldn't provide it? Okay, we take it for granted, but we shouldn't. It's just food. And God wants us to receive it with thanksgiving and to eat it with thanksgiving. Eating isn't wrong. It's something God gave us to be received with thanksgiving. So be thankful. Paul also was thankful for people and individuals. He often mentions that at the beginning of his letters. And then he often says, thanks be to God. And I'd like to look at one of those places, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Just starting a little more before that, it's talking about death. And but then it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there, again, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One goal of the Apostle Paul, and you can find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 9, is that people would give thanks, which then brought glory to God. Isn't that amazing? So I shared a little before in connection with our ministry. Some of you have been praying, and I shared a couple things that God has been doing. Give thanks to God, and give thanks to others so that God gets glory. Okay? And it becomes, and when God wants glory through our thanksgiving. In Ephesians 5:3-5, and quizzers, you should know this also. Here it's contrasted in verse 4 in the to covetousness in verses 3-5. And covetousness is wanting something greedily that we don't have. Thanksgiving is being grateful for the things we do have. See the difference in focus? It's so different. And it gets our eyes off ourselves and gets it onto God for what we do have. And it's a whole different perspective. Okay, here's a couple, one place I found from Why Gratitude is Good by Robert Emmons, who is supposedly the world's leading scientific expert on gratitude. And if you want to look at this, you can look up Greater Good online from Berkeley College or University. Here's some things he says about scientific support for thankfulness. In the physical area, thankfulness or gratefulness, stronger immune systems, less bothered by aches and pains, lower blood pressure. It helps us exercise more and take better care of our health. Sleep longer and feel more refreshed upon waking. That's what thankfulness does. This is from not from a Christian perspective, per se, but just from the scientific community. What are some benefits psychologically? It gives higher levels of positive emotions. And one article I was reading, actually thankfulness helps release some chemicals in our brain that bless us, okay, and helps us. Psychologically, it helps us be more alert, alive and awake, more joy and pleasure, more optimism and happiness. And then socially, it helps, and this is from the same article that I had mentioned, it helps us be more helpful, generous, and compassionate. This I found fascinating, this next one. When a person is thankful, he is more forgiving. And, you know, if you're struggling with bitterness or unforgiveness, I challenge you to do a simple thing. Thank God daily for that situation that happened and for the person that you're bitter about. Try it. And as you do that sincerely, one, they can't both be in the same heart, a thankful spirit and a bitter spirit. So be thankful. And it's so simple, being thankful. Helps us be more outgoing, feel less lonely and isolated. There's just a little bit from the scientific community. And we read that in Proverbs this morning, right? The he who has a merry heart has a continual feast. So thankfulness really does help us physically and psychologically. So here are some practical suggestions for being thankful. I want to give you some. And after we're done with this, I just want to hear you shout out or say out loud some things you are thankful for right here from the congregation, so you can think about that. And but here's some suggestions. And I actually got this idea from that same man who's supposed to be a leading scientific expert on gratitude. He really emphasizes journaling, keeping a journal of things you're thankful for. And they've done studies of how this helps people compared to people that, well, they did one study where they got the one group to write down what they're thankful for and the other group to write down problems in their life or negative things. And then just compared some of the effects of that on those two groups. Very interesting. So I challenge you to write down specific things that you're thankful for. Why not take two every morning? Write it down or type it out. Something, okay? Write it down. Because it disciplines us to think, to really think, how has God blessed me? And I mentioned this before. Here's another suggestion. Verbally out loud to God and to man, say what you're thankful for. Then here's a third suggestion. Do it routinely. Remember Daniel? He did it Three times a day, it specifically mentions he gave thanks and he was praying to God. He did it routinely. I suggest you do it in the morning. And here's a suggestion. Do it in the morning for who he is. As you wake up, God, you're powerful. I love the weather. You're amazing, God. You're so good. Praise him. Thank him for who he is. Then do it at noon. Maybe at noon you could remember, especially, maybe it would be as simple as really from your heart, thanking God for the food that you're eating at lunchtime or that sandwich that your wife packed. And thank God at noon for his provisions, things he's provided you for, just basic things. In the evening, as your day is wrapping up, one thing I've tried to start doing is thinking back over the day and thanking God for some of the things he did. And he does things for us throughout that day. So it's a good thing in the evening to think back, what are some of the things that God has done? Let's make it more of a theme in our personal devotional life. We've had good teaching and good examples of having a personal devotional life. It's something stressed among us. It's a good thing. Why don't we make it more of a theme in that time to give thanks? Not so much asking. Maybe take a little time out of what you had been reading, but give thanks. Give thanks. Make it a theme. And I want to remind you, after all that, God is kind to the ungrateful. All right, what a blessing, right? I just found that fascinating. He is kind to the ungrateful. So don't worry if you haven't been thankful. Confess it. And then let's grow. Let's go another direction and start being thankful. Now, if you are not a believer, you have things to be thankful for, and you can follow what I'm teaching. But there's something you can't do. You can't thank God for salvation through Jesus Christ, which is one of the most basic things that I am happy about, right? So I just encourage you, if you're not a believer, you confess that to God and you say, I want to accept your most precious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And you thank him for it. Maybe you want to do it with a parent, as I did when I was younger, one or both of my parents. Or maybe you want to, well, the Lord knows faith, okay? So I encourage you to to bow down and be grateful for what God has done for you. So here are a few things I am thankful for. Noah, you're going to share first, sorry. So what are some things you are thankful for? Let's hear it. Say it loud enough so at least 10 people around you can hear it. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Parents.
Parents, amen. Okay, whole bunch at once. Let's hear them again.
My wife.
Amen.
My wife.
Church. Good health. Keep them coming.
Friends.
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. Religious freedom. All right, now there you could go on and on, but that's a good one. We'll stop with that one because I want to talk a little more about that. By the way, we're about done for those of you who are antsy, okay? But I want to tell you a couple stories and a couple things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus. He's so good to us, isn't he? And then there's another thing I'm thankful for. Just recently, and I think recently there's been an offering taken here, and this isn't the reason this is happening, but our family is planning to visit Belize. Someone just helped us get there, I'll say it that way. And I'm so excited because it's been a prayer of mine. I knew I had a window of time before my parents leave Belize to get there. My children have never been there, and it's a big part of my life because I grew up there. So in June, Lord willing, just after school, we'll be going to Belize for about a week or so, visit my parents and the place where I grew up. So I'm so thankful for that. What a blessing. And for the person that just offered through the Lord, because I never ask anyone to help get us there. Now, I'm thankful for Gravesend. For what? Yep, that said Gravesend. Now let me tell you a little about that. Gravesend is our community where we live in Brooklyn. Now, Brooklyn has different communities that aren't necessarily political entities. It's just old communities that have been incorporated into Brooklyn. Bensonhurst, Bay Ridge, Flushing, like in Queens. And our area is called Gravesend. Now, that's a little morbid, right, to be thankful for? But anyway, it may have come from the Dutch word Grovesend or end of the grove, because it started back before the English were there. And what I found so fascinating, and I had shared this a little when Sam's were up last and he wanted me to share it, so I will, but I am thankful for it. And may God be glorified, because he directs our paths. We ended up in Gravesend in Brooklyn, and then after we were there a while, I noticed the Gravesend Square, and there was a memorial and a little plaque, and I read the plaque, and I was astounded. Gravesend was started by an English noblewoman named Deborah Moody, or Lady Moody, she was called, and she had embraced Anabaptism, and she led people, some of them from the Netherlands, over, and they were, some of them at least were in England. She led them over to the New World for religious freedom, Anabaptists. They went first to New England, which was Puritan, and the New Englanders at that time were probably less tolerant than the religious people in England. So she didn't make out so well there with her group of people, and they got kicked out of there. I don't know if she was formally excommunicated. I did read she was excommunicated, and then moved down to close to New Amsterdam, which became New York, and founded Gravesend, or Grovesend. So it was started by, at least some of them were Anabaptists, and she herself believed in that infants shouldn't be baptized. So there they started the first colony or settlement in the New World that in its charter guaranteed religious freedom to those who lived there. First colony in the New World to do that in its charter. And we in the free world are blessed with that concept that probably stemmed from the early Anabaptists in the 16th century of religious freedom and a free church. We should be very, very grateful. And for you young people and others who are, sometimes you get, we get critical. We're not very grateful, right? And we see things wrong in our churches, and there are things that need to change. Before you just throw it out and try something else, don't forget what we have. With the price of blood, people sacrifice their lives to have what we have here, and many churches in America have freedom to worship as they choose. And the concept of a church that isn't controlled by government. So we have something to be very, very grateful for. I'm thankful for Menno Simons, who was a priest for 2 years, and he said he never opened the scriptures. Imagine that. And then when people would talk about religious things, his co-workers, he couldn't even argue or debate with them. He didn't know what the issues were. And finally, he started opening the scriptures and learning. And it was a fairly fair process of time till he finally surrendered to what the scriptures actually said and lived it. I'm thankful for those kind of men who have who we today are blessed by, whether we know it or not. Now, I want to end with one story. And I'm thankful for examples like these in our past. And I've been, I think we should remember some of our spiritual forefathers who sacrificed themselves for what we have today, for the freedom and the way we worship today. And by the way, our focus on Anabaptists, early Anabaptists, I don't think should be on them, but on what they taught, that we need to get our eyes back on Jesus and back to the scriptures. So Michael Sattler, he was accused and caught by Europeans, those in Austria, and there were 9 charges against him at his trial, and he... One of the charges was that he had said he wouldn't fight the Turks. I find that fascinating. And so he answered his charges. And then he probably sealed his fate, I'm guessing. I wasn't there and you weren't either. But he said, yes, it's wrong to fight the Turks because God said don't kill. But he said that if it were right to fight, I'd rather be on the side of the Turks than on your side. And he said, because the Turks are Turks in the flesh, basically was saying they don't know better. They haven't been taught of God. But you, and talking to the religious people there, you are Turks in the spirit. So that probably didn't help his outcome. And then they gave him the sentence. And they cut out part of his tongue first, but he was still able to speak some. And they took a hot pincers, and they took out parts of his flesh, red hot pincers, and then they strapped him or bolted him to a cart, dragged him out of the city to the place where they were going to burn him for his beliefs. And then sometime or another they took out most of his tongue or with a red hot pincers so he couldn't even talk. But he had told someone, as I remember the story, and I should have checked this a little more, but you can check the story. He told someone, when I go through this, and I'm in the fire, and he was tied. When I go through this, and if I raise my hand in victory, then you can know that God's grace is sufficient. And his hands were tied. They put him to the stake, and he started burning, literally burning. His body was burning. And people, they were watching. Is he going to raise his hand? And God gave him the grace. Those ropes burned, and he raised his hand in victory. God's grace was there. And I encourage you, I don't know what you're going through today. I've been so challenged to be thankful. But I encourage you, that God's grace is sufficient. Do what God's word says, just in a very simple way. He will be faithful to you. He will come through. You don't know when. It might be longer than you expected, but he will be faithful. If he can do it for Michael Sattler in the flames, we don't even know if he was dead or alive. Maybe an angel lifted his hand, but he did it. And and he can do it for you in your trials. Let's be thankful. Let's kneel in prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you today for the many men and women who have stood up for the truth, especially back in the 1500s, many lives were lost. And we are direct recipients of that today. And I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for this congregation and the way you've used them to help bring Middle Easterners to you, Turkish people, Father. I thank you for how you've used this congregation here. Continue giving them a spirit of thankfulness and prayer. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.